Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, good afternoon on a beautiful, beautiful sunny day here in St. Louis. Not so beautiful down in Florida. It's sunny. You know, I remember, Sue, I was in... We went on a cruise years ago. This goes back like 20 years ago from New York City to Nova Scotia. I had a group of listeners from WTMJ, and there was a hurricane that was moving up the coast. And by the time it got to New York City, it was, you know, just rain, but a lot of rain, a lot of rain. And I remember this was the only time I was ever up in the World Trade Center. And the next day after all that rain, we were seeing shows, you know, Broadway shows, was the clearest, most beautiful, serene, and peaceful day. And it was so weird because it was after the hurricane, but there's a lot of sunshine in Florida right now, and you can see the devastation.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Oh, gosh, that's where we go.
Well,
the seat of Florida.
Okay,
gosh.
On that front, let's talk about Sanibel, because I'm just there a couple of months ago, Sanibel and Captiva. It's near Fort Myers. There's only one way to get to Sanibel and Captiva, and that is through the Sanibel Causeway. Now, you can get there by boat. But the causeway is the bridge that goes from the mainland to the island. It's destroyed. Like, a big chunk of that causeway is just gone.
I saw that on Twitter this morning. Somebody had tweeted it. Yeah, it's, you can't get across it.
So I checked in. My friend Tim McGowan owns restaurants down there. I said, hey, I don't even want to bother him because I know he has to be wondering. And when I checked in with him a couple hours ago, he said they just don't know what the state of his property is, the restaurant, because they can't get to the island.
Can
right?
you imagine? How frustrating on top of everything else. Oh,
here is the governor talking about Sanibel.
Sanibel is destruction. For those of you who haven't been, it's a beautiful place, really neat community, and it got hit with really biblical storm surge, and it washed away roads, it washed away structures that were not new and could withstand that.
I don't know if it's like similar to where you go down there, Sue, but Sanibel and Captiva is very, very narrow. There's not a lot of width to those islands.
Yeah, so there isn't.
Just kind of envisioning the wall of water, and I mentioned this, I think, yesterday, that Sanibel is only 3 feet above sea level.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Sea level is right there. So this bridge I was talking about, that's a mess.
We have 100 engineers on site to do bridge inspections, and they work in teams of two. As they assess the damage and they can ensure safety, then bridges can be safely reopened. Now, of course, we do have reports of structural damages to bridges, such as the bridge going on to Sanibel Island, and I anticipate there will likely be other bridges that have suffered damage.
Think about the power of Ian. When you think about enough of water and wind and power to knock out an entire bridge. It was funny because I actually, you know, you drive over something like that, and Florida has a lot of those, and I'm pretty sure that having driven over it, I thought to myself, what would happen if this thing ever went out? Because we have seen examples of that throughout the country. Remember that happened in Minnesota with a big highway collapse up there. So now it's recovery and, you know, trying to get people back with power, because there's a ton of people, more than 2 million, that don't have power. You don't have a situation where all the power lines are buried, a fair amount of them are. We are going to visit this afternoon with Steve Jervey, who is your friend from down there in Tampa. Steve has been really generous with his time in the last couple of days. He's a retired chief meteorologist at WFLA. He was here at Channel 30, and he's really good on this stuff. So we'll get his thoughts in the aftermath. And then also John Brown, who a lot of people remember, former Fox 2 anchor. He's an anchor down at the Fox station in Orlando. He's been through a bunch of these hurricanes, so we'll get John to chime in here this afternoon as well. So now it's, you know, now it's about recovery and rebuilding and picking up the pieces and seeing what's left, because we're just doing it right now in the studio. So you look at Fox and you look at some of the new, you know, it was this morning. I think that was the number one thing. I got up relatively early and I started searching on Twitter and I didn't see a lot of pictures or stories. But I think part of the reason was is that overnight it's dark. You're waiting for the sun to come up. Sometimes these are people that are just arriving on the scene where people had evacuated. So now you get to see, unfortunately, what had happened. Some of the boats that are piled up, devastation for homes and in small homes and big homes just wiped out by this hurricane. So I don't know what the price tag is going to end up being, but it is going to be enormous before it's all over. Let me kind of run down what else we're doing on the show this afternoon. Congressman Rodney Davis is going to join us in just a few minutes. I mentioned John Brown. Oh, Sue, maybe I'll keep this a surprise, but if you look at the schedule, you kind of know. Well, you know anyway, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I was on the text.
I'll tell you what. We'll save that, though, for 4 o'clock. We have a nice surprise coming at 4 o'clock right before Sue's news, and that's pretty cool. Steve Jervey, J.J. Carafano, and more as we head into the – oh, you know, yesterday, we didn't really talk about this. I do want to highlight this a little bit. Lists are weird, right? You know, you always have the top 100 songs, the top 100 guitar players. So Rolling Stone, because they want people to click on their site and subscribe, has updated its top 100 greatest TV shows list. And Aaron Barnhart, a good friend of the show, longtime TV critic and the senior editor for Primetimer.com, is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Let me get to a few things here, some related to the hurricane, some not related to the hurricane. Also, you know, Coolio died. Do you hear about that?
I did.
He's only 59 years old, right?
I was sorry to hear that.
He was just here.
Was he?
Yeah. The Fair St. Louis, the third night on that Monday night, it was a bunch of different people, and Coolio was amongst the artists that night.
My friend Billy Greenwood put on some social media that he randomly had met Coolio like in an elevator and like a Fred Bottenheimer situation.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that this guy was so nice. He was very kind. You know, women were coming up to him when they got off the elevator, and he could not have been kinder. And I just thought that was really nice. Yeah. I hadn't heard a Coolio story one way or the other, and that's the first one I heard, and it was good.
They think it's a heart attack, so I don't know if we'll find out more than that. Let me think here, because there's something I want to launch into, but I gotta make sure that I'm done with all the other stuff. All right, I think I am. Let's just do this right now. Did you hear the whole deal with Biden and the deceased congresswoman?
No.
Because this is fascinating, all right? And yesterday, let me just go to yesterday's show, because I played a soundbite at the beginning of the show yesterday in the monologue that featured our president talking about, he seemingly was very confused, talk about vaccines and hurricanes. Now, I came back later in the hour. Some people might not have heard this corrected. That was from, thanks to a listener who pointed that out. We were a little confused ourselves, that was from about a year ago when he was talking about vaccines. So it came off like he was pretty confused, because oftentimes he is very confused. But I corrected that yesterday, and that was something, it still sounded weird to me. But now you have yesterday a White House event where reporters are, look, this stuff is happening on a regular basis, and you just can't really not address it. Even Trevor Noah, who is probably the least funny late night comedian out there. I don't get Trevor Noah, but I'll play you his bit, because he sort of has the bite here and he explains what happened yesterday. They were doing an event and, well, just listen, Trevor will catch you up here.
After a shaky start to his presidency, Joe Biden has recently gotten some of his groove back. He's signing legislation, he's reestablishing America's status in Europe, and he's the new brand ambassador for aviators.
Ooh.
In fact, many people are actually saying that Biden might have a really good shot at winning a second term in office. All he needs to do, though, is avoid doing stuff like this.
All right, so now they take you to the audio here of what happened yesterday, where he's trying to acknowledge, well, I think this is a news story, so I think they summarize it here.
An awkward moment for President Biden today at a White House conference. While calling out people in the audience, he accidentally included Indiana Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, who was killed in a car crash over the summer.
Remember that from a couple of months back? She died.
Yeah.
It was a really, really tragic situation in Indiana.
I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this a reality.
Now, I should point out that the audience reaction there was not at the White House. That was in Trevor Noah's audience. But look, this was a bill that was renaming Indiana Veterans Clinic after her. And there was a statement that the White House drafted that he should have been familiar with. And he issued a statement when she died as well. So Trevor Noah goes on here.
No! No, Joe, what are you doing? Ah, that's so awkward. Oh, man. And his explanation didn't help. You know, he's like, of course I knew Jackie was dead. I was looking for Jackie Kennedy. Where's Jackie Kennedy? Where are you, Jackie? Where's Jackie? Oh. Look, I mean, I guess on the upside, at least he noticed that she wasn't there. This is a good thing. Yeah, it could have been much worse if he was like, where's Jackie? Oh, there she is. There's Jackie. Everyone look at Jackie. People are like, there's no Jackie. She's there. Everybody sees Jackie. And look, I know a lot of people are saying that this is another example of Biden's brain being foggy. But I think, if anything, this makes Biden a better president. Yeah. Think of how hard he must be working right now to keep Americans safe, knowing that Osama bin Laden is still out there somewhere. Where is he? Where is he, Jack? Where is he?
There's a little mild laugh there. Again, two things that demonstrated. Okay, we should point out, I give Trevor Noah credit for tackling this because SNL and a lot of the other comedians won't even touch it. So he gets credit there. But I think what was on display there is he wasn't funny because he's really not that funny. So KJP asked about this.
Was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind.
John Lennon, okay. Top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him anywhere.
When you sign a bill for John Lennon as president, then we can have this conversation.
I don't know if John Lennon was the best example there. And if that guy's thinking about John Lennon every day, I'd like to know why. And I'm just going to say this sincerely. I kind of feel badly for KJP in that situation because What in the world is she going to say, right?
Well, you know what would help is if they would just say, tell the truth. You know what? He flubbed it.
Well, right.
We apologize, but they never do that. Then it makes it worse.
Right. It does make it worse because, if she says this is, you're right, but if she says something like, well, the president was momentarily confused, well, then that opens up a floodgate of questions, which it should.
She doesn't even have to say that. You're right, of course, but I mean, she can just say, he flubbed
it. He made a mistake.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
Right. It was an honest mistake.
It's honest. He feels, you know what, bad about it.
It was a mistake. It was an honest mistake. She was top of mind, and that's what happened.
All she had to do, but they never do that.
They don't. They don't ever do that, and it's... These moments are getting worse, though. And that's what I think we're finding. There's been a couple. I haven't even highlighted some of these things because they happen so often. But there's been a couple of things where he's wandering around on the stage and he looks a little lost as well. We'll take a break here. We have Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis coming up next. We'll talk about the gaffe there from the president, the Safety Act in Illinois, which is ridiculous, inflation, and the stopgap spending bill. That and more. John Brown from Orlando, former Fox 2 anchor, is going to join us a little later. We have Sue's News in the next hour. Oh, and a special surprise right after 4 o'clock.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're going to officially welcome a member of the United States Congress to the show here momentarily. Before I do that, let me see. He's on the line. Let me check the division standings of the AFC West. Vegas. Roddy Davis, Vegas Raiders. Are they 0-3? Can you confirm that for me? 0-3? Wasn't this a competitor in that division?
You know, we like to start slow, and then
guess.
It makes us winning.
I
makes
guess.
Us winning the division that much sweeter. But, you know, 3 plays from 3-0, and we didn't lose to the Colts.
Oh, well, that is a good point. The Chiefs took a dump last weekend. But how are you this afternoon? Haven't chatted in a while.
I am great, and 10 seconds into chatting with you, I'm regretting it already.
Well, let's start on a serious note because of what's happening in Florida. It's just devastating. It's unfortunately meeting all these expectations. You know, one of my friends and clients just asked this question John Sullivan said, what do you do if you have an EV and you're down in Florida? What would you do at this point? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, mind you, I think it's fair to say gasoline might be a little bit tough, too. But if you have an EV, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you are. I mean, unless you have a whole house generator running on natural gas or diesel fuel or regular fuel that then you can then charge your car. But I think it's unrealistic for most American families not to always have an internal combustion engine. And that's something that families are going to have to take into consideration and put the political rhetoric to the side and do what's best for their families.
You know, Congressman, one of the things that I said yesterday is this is the moment. These are the moments where government really does have a huge responsibility. You've seen Governor DeSantis in action. You have all this help from other states and communities. And then the federal government's going to have to help out as well. And one of the things that I pointed out as a juxtaposition, if you will, is we got $400 billion going to student loan payoffs. You have another $12 billion going to Ukraine, and money's just handed out like candy. But this is really where we need the money, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know, when I got to Congress a little less than 10 years ago, one of the first votes I had to take was Superstorm Sandy relief. And I voted for the version that a lot of my Republican colleagues voted against, because I think if there's one thing that the federal government should do well, that's help our communities recover from a disaster.
I agree.
And we've seen it in St. Louis. And frankly, that's something that I've tried to do over my time in Congress by getting some of the rules and regs changed around disaster assistance getting to even some of our smaller communities. But the devastation in Florida is so immense. But the federal government's going to play a role. The taxpayers have to play a role, because we've got to do what's right for the Americans who have been impacted by the storm.
But I bring up the comparison with the money that's being spent elsewhere, because I can't see. I know there's particulars when bills get passed that some people might not like, pork here, pork there, and all that. But I think that you'd have a general consensus from the people in this country that this is money, if we can make sure that it's wisely spent, because there's always going to be abuse, that that's where they think taxpayer money should go, not to pay off student loans for kids that, you know, majored in sociology.
Well, I mean, there are a lot worse majors than sociology, even. And in the end, Mark, in the end, I'm surprised by some of the arguments and political gymnastics some of my colleagues do out here to vote against common sense things like disaster relief. But the student loan expungement, or per se, is what the Biden administration is calling it, really is just a shifting of the burden. Those kids that are going to get that student loan expunged are still going to have to pay in the long run for that expungement, as is every other American family. Taxpayers who didn't get that degree in sociology or the one you got in clay pot therapy, you know, those majors are going to end up paying some, but so is everyone else.
What's the update? Help me with some procedure here. Congressman Ronnie Davis on stopgap funding bill. I guess the Senate voted on this. Does it come back to you? What are we funding here now with this?
Well, what this is, it's a continuing resolution adding some provisions in regards to FAA operations and FAA fees that fund the hiring of FDA employees that actually do good work. They're not the ones making the political statements that we've seen come out of some of those agencies in the last couple of years. We've also added some funding for Ukraine. I think we're at a crucial point in our ally Ukraine being able to push back against Russia. And I'm telling your listeners, please don't listen to the rhetoric. We as Americans have always got to be on the side of duly elected democracies and democratic leaders like the prime minister of Ukraine. We cannot be doing Vladimir Putin, a totalitarian, evil man with an evil regime's bidding. Let's make sure we pass. Let's make sure that we come together and at least be able to debate good policies like adding Ukraine funding to this package. But in the end, it's really a continuation of the Trump budget. We're still working off a Trump presidency budget, and the funding from last year will be continued for a short time. And then hopefully we can continue to work to save taxpayer dollars in a long-term spending bill before right after the election and before the new Congress is sworn in.
Congressman Rodney Davis from Illinois is with us this afternoon. You knew, because I know we referred to her a couple of months ago after this tragedy. Jackie Walorski, who was a fellow congresswoman from Indiana, killed in a terrible car crash earlier in the summer. And Joe Biden seemed to think that she was in the room yesterday at a bill signing. I mean, this keeps happening, Rodney, and it's uncomfortable, but it keeps happening.
It does. And you know what's even more disappointing is you had the communications director double down rather than just saying, hey, the president made a mistake. You know, Jackie was a freshman with me. She was a very good friend of mine. I was at her services in South Bend, Indiana. It was tragic. Jackie did work on those issues and should have been honored by the president. But at the same time, if the speech told him to recognize her in the room, then that's an utter complete failure on behalf of one of his staff members. But more than likely, he just didn't follow what was written there and made a mistake. And there's one thing I found out about the Biden administration. Nobody there wants to own up for their mistakes. I mean, the American people will forgive anyone in a decision-making position if they make a mistake, own up to it, and don't make the same mistake again. But he's had Afghanistan withdrawal issues. He's had this. He's had other mistakes that they double down and try and defend themselves and make themselves look stupid.
Yeah, well, Sue just made that point. We were talking about it in the monologue a little bit, and that was what she said. Look, just admit, say you made a mistake, and move on. But they don't want to do that because I think they're going to open them. They think they're going to open themselves up to more questions about his mental health. Hey, the other thing that we've been talking about quite a bit here is the Safety Act in Illinois, and this whole thing is just crazy, Rodney. I'd love for you to weigh in. I don't know if there's anything. Obviously, the Congress can't do anything here. There have to be changes in Illinois. But when you see some of the details of what's going to happen in your state come January, at least according to the state's attorneys, it's pretty horrifying.
It really is. No cash bail has been a disaster wherever it's been implemented. And it's a program that's going to allow criminals to commit a crime, walk back out into the street, and be able to commit the same crime against the same victim. Unfortunately, it's going to lead to an increase in crime and an already increasing criminal environment that we're in many of our major urban areas. And frankly, it's spreading to the rural areas that I even live in. It's a big deal. And in the end, the voters are going to have to decide whether or not the issue of crime and the issue of fear and the issue of what we're seeing allowing criminals to be coddled and back out on the streets to continue to attack their victims, is that going to be the number one issue they vote on? Or is it going to be on a fake issue like the Dobbs decision, where unfortunately for the state of Illinois, nothing has changed with the immense
That's right.
over access to abortion services in my home state of Illinois. But they're using that as the issue to scare people rather than and then criticizing us Republicans for scaring people about criminal activity that's happening in their neighborhoods, which is factual.
So you lost your primary earlier this year with some district changes, and you're in your last few months of being a member of Congress. How do you feel right now about the way the midterms are shaping up, and do you feel pretty strong? I mean, I think the House looks safe, but your thoughts on the Senate and what you're seeing across the country in some of these other races?
What are you talking about? I lost, Mark. I objected to those results. I won. I still think that we can win the House. I'm very confident about that. I'm looking forward to a Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. I think Kevin will do a phenomenal job. I still think I'm pretty optimistic on the Senate. I mean, look, you're not going to have a problem in Missouri. Eric Schmidt's going to cruise. I still think Eric made a tactical error saying he wouldn't vote for Mitch McConnell when he didn't have to win that primary. Hopefully he's learned from that, and hopefully he's going to go out to Washington, which I know Eric can be a phenomenal senator and somebody who's effective like Roy Blunt from day one. He will be your senator, and I think we can win some seats that people aren't expecting in places like Colorado, Washington State, New Mexico, and Nevada.
Is there any chance that Pritzker loses in your mind, or is it just, you know, it's just baked in because of Cook County and the Democrats?
Well, it just depends on the turnout model. Look, man, our polling and data had us winning until the turnout model changed over the last weekend that we weren't, you know, no one was prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to who's excited to vote. If Democrats are excited to vote, obviously in a state like Illinois, and conversely in a state like Missouri, it'd be the other way. But Democrats are more likely to win in Illinois on a statewide basis. In the end, if the vote model is an increase in turnout along both sides, I certainly hope we can have some Republican victories. But it's going to be up to each individual candidate to decide whether or not they're going to be able to have the resources and campaign to get their message out and win. I certainly am going to do everything I can to elect Republicans.
All right, Ronnie, thank you so much. I appreciate the time this afternoon. Good luck to your Raiders because you're going to need it. Just saying.
I got it. Hey, go Raiders. She sucked, buddy.
See you later. Bye. Ronnie Davis, Illinois Congressman, with us this afternoon. We'll take a break. We're coming back with John Brown, who I think a lot of people remember his time here at Fox 2. He had a couple of different stints, actually. Then he went back to Florida. He's in Orlando. He's going to give us an Ian update. Also, Steve Jervy in the next hour, who is Sue's friend, retired chief meteorologist down in Tampa for WFLA, and he spent time in St. Louis as well.
But you're looking at a storm that's changed the character of a significant part of our state. And this is going to require not just emergency response now in the days or weeks ahead. I mean, this is going to require years of effort to be able to rebuild and to come back. These are fantastic communities down in Southwest Florida with a lot of fantastic people.
That's Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. He's given several briefings out earlier today on the aftermath of Ian. And let's go down to Florida. I mentioned Steve Jervy's going to be with us in the next hour. Steve has been great this week. And it was Sue Thomas who remembered and is friends with him. He was here in St. Louis at KDNL and was a retired meteorologist down in Tampa. John Brown is with us this afternoon. You might remember John from his days here in St. Louis at Channel 30, a couple of different stints. And he's back in Florida, has been for a little while, former Fox 2 anchor, now at Fox in Orlando, Florida. John Brown, thanks for coming on here this afternoon. I appreciate it. How are you?
Doing okay. A lot of the staff has been sleeping at the station for the past couple of days. But, I mean, this one, I've lived through a lot of hurricanes down here, but this one was just different. And you're seeing it, especially along the southwest coast of Florida. I mean, even here in Florida, in central Florida, in Orlando, significant damage, lots of flooding, lots of trees down. So this one's just a little different than some of the past ones.
Yeah, I mentioned here at the start of the show before we brought you in that, you know, I vacation and have the last two summers down in Sanibel and Captiva. My friend Tim McGowan owns two restaurants down there. He's not even sure what condition they're in. And that causeway is out to go to Sanibel. Yeah. That's the only way you can get to Sanibel unless you have a boat. And the way that DeSantis was talking, you can understand how they would be overcome by water and wind damage. But it's just not. Well, we were warned, right? I mean, everybody, the buildup was this was going to be bad. And it unfortunately met expectations, John.
Well, think about this one. So it had a storm surge of 12 to 16 feet, right? Whatever it might be by the time they're done. All of those barrier islands that you're talking about where everybody's moved to, those are between 3, 4, 5 feet above high tide sea level. So the math doesn't add up. When you are at 3 or 4 feet above sea level and a 12-foot storm surge comes through, that explains why you saw the water up to the roofs of so many of these first floor buildings. And, you know, I'm still shocked that the death toll is as low as it is right now because we do know a lot of people didn't evacuate. And in that case, I don't know. We heard of reports of people calling 911 up on the roofs because their house was flooded. So you're on your roof in 110 mile per hour winds calling police saying, come get me. And that'll be the legacy of this storm is by the time it's all said and done, just how extensive the damage is.
It does seem like a lot of people did heed the advice and the warnings.
Oh, they did.
I can see how some people would be like, oh, I'm going to try to ride it out. But, the seriousness of this storm was certainly laid out by the governor and others for several days. And then as that path became more clear, I think people needed and they saw we need to get the hell out of there, right?
And a lot did. And so many came here to Orlando, and for good reason. I mean, you talk about an entire county, Lee County down there, off the grid, 100% of people without power. I mean, that's kind of unprecedented. It can't get any worse. But when you think about this area, you vacation down there. I know a lot of St. Louis people own condos down there.
Down in Fort Myers, yes. There.
Right. This is the area, especially Fort Myers. Those barrier islands are full of homes now, which used to be nature areas. And you're talking thousands of homes. And if you are on realtor.com like I am all day, just always looking around, you see it's million-dollar properties and up. So by the time all is said and done and they calculate the damage on this, it's going to be astronomical because I don't know how any of those houses survived that. And when they're finding boats, I think one of the reports this morning, the EOC guy in Fort Myers said there was a boat in a backyard 3 miles from the shore.
Yeah. Well, so like,
How does that happen?
So when that, you know, I guess if you have a boat down there, a lot of people would dock it if they're not there. There's places you can go. I forget the name of the place. I was in Fort Myers during that trip that I took a couple of months ago, and there was a place where all these boats were moored, you know, to the, I don't know, it was like 100 feet in the air. It was crazy. But if you're out of there and you... You know, you don't have time to get down there, and your boat is in a dock. It's piled up upon other boats right now, isn't it?
Right. Well, one of the marine experts that I spoke with, first of all, there were people riding out the storm in their boats, which I think I don't get that. You know, they say, well, it's safer because it goes up and down with the tide. Well, until your boat comes unmoored.
Right, exactly.
And that to me is the big deal. But they say, you know, that's how you store the boats down here. You see people just drop anchor, leave it out in the middle of the bay, and then it goes up and down with the tide. But when they come loose, like they did in this case with that kind of storm surge, I mean, it looked like a parade going down the main street there in Fort Myers of the boats and the dumpsters just being pushed by that wall of water. There's going to be areas, I think, Mark, especially down around Fort Myers and some of those other areas where it's going to be 5-6 years before anything's redone. Think about Mexico Beach, where a lot of St. Louisans vacation, along the northern Gulf Coast, up there where the hurricane hit, 4 years ago, 2018? It's still not right. They just opened up the post office again, I think, in some of those areas after 4 years. And so think about this one with where it sits on the ocean, the extensiveness of the damage. It's going to be a long time before that place gets back to normal, quote-unquote normal, whatever that might be from here on out.
Did you experience heavy rain in Orlando, or was it north of you?
Oh, yeah.
You did, okay.
So I had to go home last night. We were all staying at the station, but, you know, everybody bunks up in a different sales office or wherever it might be, just finding a spot to sleep. I had to go home last night for something else at around 3 in the morning. And, you know, it's the power, feeling it, you know, when you step out and it's just like, you know, it's blowing you backwards. It's amazing. But driving it is kind of scary. And then I had to come back in this morning and start the news again. And the difference between last night at around 3 a.m. going home and driving back this morning was night and day. Whatever happened overnight, that was the damage. I was having to drive the wrong way down some roads, you know, 4-lane roads, because the other side was flooded. Trees down everywhere. You'll see images on my Facebook page. I posted one. People canoeing through our neighborhood. We're not in a flood zone.
Yeah, wow.
You know, but if you think 2 feet of rain, it's not like in Missouri where it runs off down the hills and the valleys and into the Mississippi or Missouri. Here it has to soak in. And you pour 2 feet of rain, 3 feet over by the Daytona Beach area, there's nowhere for it to go, especially when the tide's up. It can't flow out. And so it's just sitting here. And now, you know, the days after a hurricane are always the most beautiful days. Sun's going to pop out. It's going to be hot. And you have all these people now cleaning up. Then the mold sets in. So the storm's gone. But from this point on, it's when it gets really nasty.
John Brown, former Fox 2 anchor. He's down at the Fox News station in Orlando, Florida. Let's just talk about the power situation. Because, look, I want to go back to Sanibel in Captiva. When we were taking a boat trip one day, Tim took us out. You're looking at the power lines just all over that bay area there, because that's the way they get power to those islands. So I heard DeSantis say this. You know, some of these things you can certainly repair relatively quickly. But there's infrastructure that's going to take a long time to even replace here. So how many people don't have power, and what's the reality of that right now, getting them having lights back on?
At last check, statewide, it was a little over 2 million. I think 2.3 was the number that I reported just when I got off the air. But oddly enough, and this is, I guess it's good and bad, right? South Florida, many of those counties down around Fort Myers, they're still 95% without power. But as you move north, it got significantly better, which was surprising. We didn't get the spin-up tornadoes this time. But also, there was a big effort over the past couple of years to trim all these old-growth trees. And so that helped, because trees weren't coming down on power lines. And, Mark, it goes back to an issue I used to preach in St. Louis all the time. Time and time again, bury the power lines.
Yeah.
You know, you drive up – that's why St. Louis goes without power so quickly during a windstorm. Because all the lines are above. Well, down here, where all these neighborhoods are new, they've buried almost everything.
Right.
So, again, in this case, you only have to fix the major power lines and the transformers. You don't have to fix every line from, you know, from the power pole to your house, because there aren't any. They're all buried. So that helped a ton, upgrading the infrastructure over the past few years down here. And also, apparently, the state of Florida had been buying up a lot of stuff during the pandemic for an incident such as this, when there were supply chain shortages.
Oh,
so they bought new transformers. So they thought ahead.
Smart. Yeah, that's good.
And they did the right thing. So yeah. it helped a ton.
John, I was listening to one report as I was driving in today, Fox reporter, and they were talking about a guy who had come back to his home. He had evacuated. He came back to his home. He said, well, I guess I did the right thing, but where do I go from here? And there's a lot of that. There are thousands, tens of thousands maybe, of people that are going to have to rebuild, replace. I can't even imagine. But, you know, the one thing that we do know, and I said this yesterday, and gosh, I hope it's true, because you got to have some faith here. We've had a lot of disruptions in this country, a lot of anger and people not getting along. But in something like this, look, I'm going to tell my friend Tim, I'll go down, take a couple of days off and help clean up if I can, because people would want to help and they want to donate. They want to do things for the people of Florida.
Let me tell you how it was the 2 days before the storm here. And, you know, obviously you got the Southern culture. You know, I know some people bristle when I say this, but it's a friendlier culture than St. Louis.
No, it is. I've experienced it, right.
Yeah. And
by the way,
it's
a lot friendlier than if you get a little further north, right, in the Northeast. But yes,
no
point
question.
Taken, yeah.
And so people come to visit us, family and friends. They're like, why is everybody at the Publix or the Winn-Dixie so nice to me? Like, everybody's smiling and talking to me. And it's noticeable. And so we were, you know, getting gas in the days before. We were getting groceries. And just to see how kind people can be in a moment like this was so refreshing. You had people helping old people out with their groceries. You had, you know, I remember I was trying to get gas and the guy in front of me waves me in. He's like, no, you go. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right?
You know, the stories you hear about people bristling, no, I'm going to go. It was so refreshing to see how people can come together. And now you have random people showing up at the shelters, bringing stuff today. They're not supposed to be out, but they're braving it to go out and bring clothing to the shelters for kids. It was that part of the story actually lifted my spirit significantly, seeing how people can come together that we're not all that different.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot
of
that. You know, in the aftermath of Katrina, my cat Dave died a couple of years ago, but there was a rescue group, because this is another aspect. These animals that, you know, are going to need homes or at least need to be found. And there was a rescue group, Felines Forever here. Nancy Lupia went down with a group, brought some, you know, cats back that had been roaming down in the streets. And I had this big, beautiful Maine Coon cat that was located from there. So I know there's going to be a lot of resources for that as well. John, thank you for taking the time. I can't even imagine what many parts of Florida are going through. And if you do need help, be sure to let us know here in St. Louis, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Mark.
Get more at 97.1 Talk. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.